many of your children around the world. Some are worshiping under the trees, some are under hot sun, some have no shelter, a place to worship you, but yet they still gather together under a tree, under whatever that is available for them. Lord, I praise you for that. We have a beautiful place to worship you. Speak to us now, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I think some of you have been following the news of what's happening in our world today. The most recently is the war in Iran with the United States and Israel. And of course, the most recent one is what? The big news in the world. If you are following, whether you're on social media, whether on the television, or if you don't watch any, say, Lord, have mercy. Because we have to be exposed sometimes to know what's going on. Otherwise, we will be saddened. Some people will say, yeah, we saw Jesus appearing somewhere in Timbuktu. Because the news are going around. So the most recent is news is what?
The astronaut.
Pardon?
The astronaut.
The astronaut, exactly right. You know, they use the name, what name did they use? What name do they use for the astronaut that went to the space?
I don't know.
Huh? Pardon? I can't hear.
Artemis or something like that.
Yes, there's a theme that they use. Artemis. Artemis is the name they use. I don't know if I pronounce this correctly.
Artemis?
Artemis, yeah. That's the theme that they use. Why did they use that name?
Oh, the Greek god or something.
Yeah, it is an ancient Greek religion and mythology of the Greek. They call it Artemis in the goddesses of the hunting. It is the goddess of the hunting, goddess of the wilderness, wild animals, transitions, Artemis this is the Greek mythology that they're using for NASA to travel into the space. Why do they use it? I don't know. So they are safely home. Last night, around 8 o'clock Eastern time, they landed in the Pacific Ocean. And all four of them are safe landed. The Artemis, the second crew, splashed down on the coast of the California tonight, which is last night, to end a 10-day mission that took the four astronauts around the moon, around far aside of the moon and farther from the Earth than any human has been. They are the first to go beyond the moon than any other human being has ever been. Commander Reed, Weisman, mission pilot, Victor Clover, and mission specialist, Christina Koch, the only female among the three young men, and Jeremy Hansen, now the first Canadian to fly to the moon, landed in the Pacific Ocean right on time at 8:07 when they landed into the Pacific Ocean last night. This mission achieved a lot. Clearly, the heat shield that some were concerned about wasn't an issue this time. You remember the try, I think it was last year they were trying to go, but it failed, and they tried again. The new re-entry procedures seem to have worked, protecting Hansen, Weisman, Clover, and Koch. The analysis of how the Orion spacecraft performed will likely begin soon in order to prepare for Artemis the third and Artemis the fourth. So they already reached Artemis the first, the second, The first one was when? I think it was 1970s. They called it Apollo expedition.
Apollo,
yes. That was the first one, almost 50 plus years ago. Why am I saying this? They were concerned with some safety issues. You remember a couple of years ago, there were some astronauts who went to the space, and when they came, what happened? That was a great disaster.
Columbia. Space shuttle Columbia.
Right.
One of the seals in the cold weather cracked and broke and leaked the fuel up.
Right. Right. And they all crashed. They all perished. Friends, no matter what the human being can do, safety is always a major problem to all. A few weeks ago, we talked about safety in this building. What happened if we have an earthquake? What happened if there's fire here? How many of us know where to go? Yes, we may know where to go, there's some exit, but where are we going? There's kind of a confusion when there's always an emergency, when there's a situation, there's chaos. What we're going to talk about here, dwelling in the presence of the Most High. This has been the topic, the theme that I've been preaching. This is part three. If you have been following me, I've been talking about having a relationship with God. And the next theme I will be talking about, relationship with God, then we will be talking about relationship with one another. So today I'm going to be talking about dwelling as a protection in the spiritual warfare. Okay? The last two topics I mentioned, I talked to you. You remember? How many of you remember what were the two that we talked about? On the theme of dwelling in the presence of the Most High. We read the scripture reading, book of Psalms 91, 11 to 12. This has been the theme of my preaching in the book of Psalms chapter 91. It is the Psalms of David, very powerful. And thank you, Rob, for saying this is one of your favorite Bible texts. And I think it should be one of all of us' favorite Bible texts, Psalms 91. As we stay right there, identity. Because in part one we talk about coming in the presence of God is not a drop-in center. Coming in the presence of God is not a visitation. Coming in the presence of God is not going shopping. Coming in the presence of God is a lifestyle. Amen? You know what a lifestyle is. Something that constantly is your life. If that's what you are, that's who you are. Being in the presence of God, dwelling in the presence of the Most High, it has to be our lifestyle. Not a drop-in. Coming to church is not a drop-in, it's our lifestyle. Coming to worship God is not a drop-in, it's not a visitation, it is a lifestyle. Studying God's Word, studying the Bible, is a lifestyle. It's not something, I think today maybe I need to study the Bible. No, it is a lifestyle. Worship in the evening before you go to bed is a lifestyle. It's not like something, we have to think about. It's something in the blood. It's something in our bones. It is a lifestyle. And so when that becomes our lifestyle, then we look at dwelling in the presence of God become transforming our identity. It clarifies who you are, who I am. We live in a world where people are confused. They don't know who they are. Amen? In a world we're living today, there's so much confusion. Nobody knows whether they're a man, they're a woman. They don't know how, whether they're tall or they're young. They don't know what is going, they don't know even where they're coming from. They don't know who they are. But I have a good news for you, my dear brothers and sisters. We are God's children, amen?
Amen.
We are created in the image of God. The Bible says, God knew us even before we were born. He knew us. He knew you before your mother and your father conceived you. God knew you and me. Amen? So there's no reason to get confused of our identity. So when we dwell in the presence of God, it becomes our lifestyle, then that creates an environment that we know where we are coming from. We know who we are because we are God's children. And when we know our identity, we have been transformed. Now there's war that's happening. Dwelling is your defense in the spiritual warfare. Because when you know who you are, you know it's your lifestyle. That's a war that's been fought. That's a war that's happening. I'm not talking about a physical war. I'm talking about spiritual warfare that you and I are fighting every day. We are fighting every day. So, dwelling is your defense in spiritual warfare. Because whether we realize it or not, we are in a warfare. The spiritual warfare. Number one, I have about 9 points. I want you to follow with me. Part three, which we dwelling is our defense in spiritual warfare. Number one, the reality of the great controversy. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. What does it say? Read that with me. I just took it short from here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We do not wrestle against flesh, but against what?
Powers of.
Read it from the Bible. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. What are we wrestling against? Spiritual forces. We are in spiritual warfare. Now some Christians sometimes say, and sometimes some of them started taking some knives and all the weapons carrying with them. We are fighting the war. That's not the war God has called you and I to fight. We are fighting spiritual warfare. We're not fighting political warfare. We're not fighting, party warfare. We are fighting a spiritual warfare. The book Great Controversy by Ellen G. White, page 588, she said, the great controversy between Christ and Satan is to increase in intensity to the very close of time. Are we close to the close of time?
Yes.
What are we saying? We are saying great war. The great controversy between Christ and Satan is to increase in intensity to the very close of time. Close time. Your struggles are not just physical. My struggle is not just physical. Not just emotional. They are spiritual. Some of this war that we are fighting, it can really affect us physically, it can affect us emotionally, it can affect us mentally. But we are fighting spiritual warfare. And sometimes we mix up. Number two, Psalm 91 is a warfare song. Psalm chapter 91 is a warfare song. If you read with me, talk about terror by night, arrow by day, pestilence and destruction. Turn with me in the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. And if you find it, you can read it for us. And if you can read it loud and clear, that would be awesome. Especially if you had breakfast this morning. Matthew 24, 24. And somebody reads Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-10.
Okay, so Matthew 24, 24?
Yes, please.
For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that they, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Right, amen. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Verse 9-10.
you don't have your Bible of your own, there's some Bibles that are just in front of you in the pews.
In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, and with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works.
Is this 2 Thessalonians 2, 9?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Which one is that?
2:9.
Stephen
him.
Amen. Praise God. Maybe God was speaking that this need to be read.
Listen up, girls. Okay, hold on.
Amen.
The coming of those people, like, this doesn't sound right.
That
the
is
coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved.
Amen. Again, somebody read for us 2 Corinthians 11, 14 to 15. Who got that?
And he that made wonders, so that he made fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and defeat them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which has the wound with
Amen. Like I said, Psalm 91 is a warfare psalm that you and I need to be looking at, that it takes us away from the Old Testament to the New Testament of the war that we are fighting. The destruction, these are not just poetic, they represent attack on the enemy. Satan is working to deceive, if possible, the very elect. Psalm 91 is a text that we need to focus on. It is not just about comfort. It is a battle strategy that the devil is using in the book of Psalms 91. I'm going to take you a little further. That he quoted when he was tempted Jesus Christ. So number three, dwelling is your covering. When we dwell in the presence of God, that is the covering that will cover you and I, that will protect you and I from the hands of the enemy. He who dwells shall abide under the shadow, shall equal to covering, protection, and nearness. Shadow. A shadow of a tree. You know, when it's a hot summer, when you walk around, especially in the tropical country where I come from, where big trees, and when it's so hot, you are running under the mango tree, because the mango tree also has always stayed green throughout the year. But it doesn't produce fruit every year. Throughout the year, there's a season, it produces and then it is dark. But the leaves continue to be green. And it is a shadow. And remember, as a little boy, that's where we spend the day. When it gets hot, we run to the river and then come back. We spend time under the shadow of the mango tree. God is the shadow for you and I, my dear brothers and sisters. He's our dwelling place. Those who put their trust in God will be shielded from the power of the enemy. Testimony to the church. Those who put their trust in God will be shielded from the power of the enemy. The enemy is roaring like a lion looking for whom to devour. We need to stay in the shadow of the Almighty. You don't fight for victory. We don't fight for victory. We fight for the place of covering. When God covers us, He protects us. Number four,
The enemy attacked the mind first. What does he attack? He attacked our mind. How? By fear, by doubt, by discouragement. Have you ever been in a situation that you live a life of fear? And then you are kind of doubting about this God thing, about this Christianity thing, and then discouragement. And then offense, sometimes we get offense very quickly. Are there people who get offense very quickly here? I am sometimes. We take offense over little things. And the devil will bring that to, because when you come here, a pastor, myself, or the elder, or somebody says something, we are easily offended. And when we are offended, what happened? I don't want to go back there. And you go somewhere, you get offended. You go somewhere, you get offended. To the point that the devil not creating doubt in your mind. I think this church thing doesn't work. Because these people are just hypocrites. They talk about love, 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 but they don't love. And we don't take responsibility for that. 2 Corinthians 10, bringing every thought into captivity. The devil attack our mind. The mind is the citadel of the beings, Adventist home. He attack our mind. How does he attack? He brings negative thoughts in our mind. If Satan controls your thoughts, he influences your life. If he can control our minds, he can control your mind. He got us. He got you. He got me. Dwelling in God's presence is guarding our minds and your mind. My mind and your mind. Dwelling in God's presence, guarding our minds, my dear brothers and sisters. It has to be a lifestyle. It has to give us that identity who we are. And then when we dwell in God's presence, it is a defense for a spiritual warfare. We cannot defeat the enemy without being in the presence of God. Amen. Number 5, Jesus used Psalms 91 in battle in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4, you know the temptation of Jesus. When the devil said, turn this stone into bread. Oh, can you bow down and fall? The angels of God is going to help you. He quoting was from the book of Psalms. Satan quoted Psalm 91, but twisted it. What does he do? He knows the Bible better than you and me. The devil, Satan, knows the Bible from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. He can quote certain quote scripture, but he left out that which would have shown his deception. Desire A, page 120. Not every Bible quote is true when taken out of context. Dwelling in God's presence gives you and me discernment, my brothers and sisters. There's people who carry the Bible. Yes, they will quote, but they're quoting out of context. Will that make it true? No. That's why we can say a battle that's happening. A different denomination, a lot of denomination today, a lot of Christian today, as a result of quoting the Bible, reading the Bible out of context. Such as when God threw all the basket of all unclean food to Peter and said, kill, took one of them and kill it and eat. And he said, no, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. And God said, whatever I have clean, don't call it unclean. You can eat anything. And people, they stop right there. They say, see, God cleaned everything so you can eat it. But when you read further, what does he say? God was sending a message to Peter that do not call any person unclean. Because the blood of Jesus has washed Gentiles. Greek and all the same, bring them all together. The moment we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are one. Because in those days, Paul was not, you cannot go to those people. You cannot go over there. God had to reveal to him, no, everyone is my child. And a lot of Christians today read that and stop right there. That God cleaned everything. You can eat frogs. You can eat anything. You can eat lizard, you can eat snakes,
mice,
flies,
rabbit.
Huh? Yeah, right?
Right.
But when those people, when you tell them, can you eat all? No, you cannot eat it. Why? They can't. cannot explain, quoting the Bible out of context. And so for us as believers, we've got to be careful that we need to read the Bible from the context, not out of context. Number six, angels are assigned to those who dwell in the presence of God. When we go through life, God gives each one of us guiding angels. Can you say amen to that? Heavenly angels are appointed to watch over those who seek God. Great controversy, page 54. Angels protect, but protection is connected to relationship with God. It is connected with our relationship with Him. Not occasional connection, but consistent dwelling in the presence of God. It's not dropping, it's not visiting, but consistent in the presence of the Most High. You know, I'm not saying that every time you just close your eyes pray. No, when you're driving, your mindset is with God present. When someone speed passing you, you say, God, help. When someone tailgating you, sometimes I have a lot of those people that are like behind you. They give you that adrenaline of the blood. You start going, what do I do? And then you have a truck beside you, and then you just drive, and this guy just behind you like this. That's this moment when we need the angels of God to protect us. Number seven, the end time application for you and I. As we approach the final crisis, we need to increase. God, as we approach the final crisis, the devil will increase deception. Have we seen that already? Yes. As we approach the final crisis, the devil will increase its pressure on worship, who to worship. And this is the battle we're going to be fighting. It's going to be about worship, who we worship, just like Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. Just like Joseph, this is the battle we're going to be fighting. Increases in spiritual attacks. We see this happening time and time, and it's increasing. That's our spiritual life is going to be attacked. Revelation 13 speak about that. Speak of caution and pressure on worship. Who to worship? Question is, who will you worship? Who will I worship? The spirit of prophecy, Ellen G. White says, only those who have forfeited their mind with the truth of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. Great controversy, 592. Dwelling prepares you and I for what is coming. Dwelling in the presence of God on a daily basis prepares you and I about what is about to come. Casual Christianity will not survive end time pressure. You know what casual means? You know? Being casual in the presence of God, meaning dropping in the presence of God. You know what? I don't feel like. It's not about feeling. It's about feeling being in the presence of God. It's not about your feelings. It's not about you. It's about having that relationship. It's just like my wife. It's not about feeling. It's a commitment. Amen? Those of us who are married, we have that relationship that we made that commitment from day one that this woman or this man I married to, I wanted to live with them for life. It's a commitment. You know, my mom used to say, if it is not because of my children, I will not stay here with you. And at the same time, the same thing, my dad would say the same thing. You know, when you're having a conflict, you know, if it is not because of this kid, I'm not going to be here. Are any one of you a witness of that? Yeah. But they make that commitment because God blessed them with the children, and we are those children. He makes them a reason to be there for each other. And above all, of course, for themselves. God wants us to have a meaningful relationship with Him. Not a casual, not a visitation, not a drop in, but commitment. Only those who dwell deeply will stand firmly in a time of trial and tribulation. When we stand when we stay in the presence of God. As we approach the final crisis, only those who have fulfilled their mind with the truth of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. Dwelling now prepare us for what is coming. Casual Christianity will not survive end-time pressure, but only those who dwell deeply will stand firm. Amen? Number 8, how to dwell in spiritual warfare. Number 1, what do we need to do? Daily surrender. Daily surrender. You wake up in the morning, you need to surrender. Say, God, I'm here. You cannot fight spiritual battle with a disconnected life. We need to be connected to the source. We need to be connected to the one who created life. Number 2, scripture saturation. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. We have a television telecast called It Is Written. Now we have It Is Written US, It Is Written International, It Is Written Canada. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. How to dwell as a spiritual warfare, daily surrender. Scripture saturation. Jesus said it is written and overcame what happened. Number 3, persistent in prayer. Paul said pray when? Pray when? When you feel like?
All the time.
All the time. Prayer is a breathing. Ellen G. was saying, prayer is heaven's ordained means of success. I love it. Prayer is the heaven's ordained means of success. Number 4, obedience. Disobedience opens doors. Obedience strengthens covering. We need to obey the voice of God. When God speaks, we listen, we fall. Number 5, faith over feeling. Dwelling is not emotional, it is intentional. Yeah. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's not like I feel like, no. It's not a feeling, it's an intention of that. We have to take intentionally that I want to be in the presence of God. I want to know God. God, reveal yourself to me. I don't know who you are. When we ask that question, God is saying, my daughter, my son, I am here. I am here. Number 9, warning. The danger of leaving the secret place. When we leave the secret place from God, when you and I, me, stop dwelling in the presence of God, we are inviting fear increases in our life. Discernment decreases. Vulnerability rises. When we left the presence of God, we started living in fear. We don't even have discernment anymore. We become so vulnerable. Somebody read for us John 15, 6. What does it say? What does it say? Anybody?
If a man abide in me, and not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
Cool. Here, Jesus is giving you and I a message. Without abiding in me, we wither. We dry. We become stale. We become dry. We become useless. What happened? Throw out. So fear increases when we are far away from God. Discernment decreases. We become vulnerable. We close. Number 10. The final battle is about where you are, where you and me dwell. Where do you want to dwell? Where do you want to dwell? What you and me believe, but where you and me live spiritually. Two dwelling places. The presence of God. The atmosphere of the world. Which one you need to dwell in the presence of God? I would choose to dwell in the presence of God. How about you?
Amen.
Every soul is choosing under whose banner he or she will stand. Which one will you stand? Question for you and for me as we close. Where have you been dwelling this week? This week? Where have you been dwelling? This is some question that I want you just to meditate upon it, to contemplate on it. What has been shaping your thoughts? What's filling your thoughts? What's filling your mind? Are you covered or exposed? God is not calling you and me to occasional sit. He is calling you and me to permanent cover. To move in, to stay in, and to live in his presence. I want to live in his presence. How about you?
Amen.
How about you? Can I see your hand saying, oh God, I want to move in. God, I want to stay in your presence. God, I want to live in your presence. Praise God. God, as you see the hands of your daughters and sons, we want to move in. We want to stay in your presence. And we want to be in your presence. And with that, Lord, we want to be near to you. Not only near to you, but near to your presence. Near to your presence. May we all stand together as we sing our closing song. Near the cross. Pray for one another.